I'm going back to Ben. I've been reading his autobiography lately.
Oh, yeah?
And not only, I mean, it parallels a lot of what I like, which makes it make sense that I really appreciate his music. I've got a lot of parallels and stuff. But he actually wrote an entire paragraph at the beginning of a chapter about a show that I went to. Because it was actually a show about him being burned out, which is really interesting because, like, my sister had seen him the night before in Detroit, right? My sister's a huge Ben Folds fan, right?
Okay.
She actually was Ben Girl for a while. That was her email handle. But she went to the show, met him outside, and said, I was going to go to the show in Chicago, but my brother, you know, my brother can't afford it, all this other tickets were sold out or something like that. I don't know. I couldn't get tickets anyway. So she asks him for tickets, and he goes, all right, what's your name? And wrote it down in his letter and wrote it down Megyn Kelly for four tickets and had him at will call for us. I took two of my friends, and she showed up, and all four of us went, right? And it was a great show, great concert. I got to meet the because this is 2002 when he went on solo, right? So I actually met him outside and met the band outside, and we talked to him. And it turns out that was the last show of that tour because he played with 105 degree fever and collapsed. He collapsed off stage after the show. I had no idea. I just thought he was waiting out back, waiting and you know, waiting for the crowd to die down before coming out and saying hi. No, he was just getting so that he could stand again.
Wow.
Dude burned out.
Yeah.
So again, parallels. Fantastic stuff. Anyway, I've delayed long enough. Let's go to our friend, me and Gene in Eau Claire. How you doing, Jeannie? I say me and Gene and Jess because that's a wrestling guy.
I'd like to be a Mean Gene, man. Okay, well, anyway, I just had to make a comment. I love how you guys are encouraging people to run for office, and you guys are youngsters in my eyes. So anyway, I think the number one priority that a person needs to have is to actually care about people, to actually care about their living circumstances, their environments that they live in, you know, their work safety, to actually work for the people that you represent. And I think that people who have a, you know, a real heart and a real caring personality would do very, very well for our state, unlike some of the people with the R after their name that just work for the people that give them the money and then actually don't work, you know, so they can get out and do some work, raising more money to keep themselves in office. So I welcome all new young people. I think it would be very refreshing to see people who actually care about the people they represent, because Democrats, from their actions, their initiatives, the things that they've been fighting for, Democrats care about people. They care about women. They care about children. They care about issues. So Democrats care. You know, I've been independent my entire life, and I used to believe in both parties. But I've been watching nonstop of all the things that have happened through our state, through our country, and it's like Republicans don't give one butt about our democracy. They don't care about, you know, when people were getting sick from COVID, you know, they tell lies, and it's like, huh, we're safest with Democrats. I'm convinced now that Democrats really do care. That's just my input. You guys have a good Easter, and thank you so much for the show you're
nice,
doing.
That was the nicest way
thank
to
you,
be
Gene.
Mean I've ever heard, Gene.
I would say that was a very much, nice, sincere, mean Gene.
Yes, very, for sure. I want to make a distinction here between the politicians and the actual people who vote for them. I hesitate to say, because I know from personal experience that the people who vote Republican that I know care about people, they care about society, and they care about making things better. The issue is the disconnect between the people they vote for and what the people that they vote for do. And a lot of it, frankly, and I'm also saying that, you know, just because you're a Republican politician that you automatically hate everybody, or you don't have any, or you're a sociopath. What I'm more trying to say is that the rules for engagement, the way that you actually get ahead as far as political parties in general go, is and the way that our political system is run, you basically have to, no matter what, always be asking for money. You always have to ask for money. No matter how you do it, you still have to. You can do it nicely. You can do it meanly. You can do it by stoking
fear. You can go get it from individual donors. You can go get it from corporations. But yeah, you got to be running. You got to be asking money. You're constantly fundraising, and that is the incentive structures, Brian, need to change.
Yes,
because I think that's the biggest thing. Is if there was incentives for better people to run, then that's what we would have. We would have better people running. But unfortunately, the incentive structures, they're just not there right now. It allows for people that are fine just going and finding money from large corporations the ability to go fundraise and then run these campaigns. Because it's not necessarily the cheapest thing to run a political campaign. It's not. And there are ways that you can do it from like a grassroots startup, but it still takes time and it takes the energy to go out. And I agree, Jeannie, and we appreciate your call. But having the chance for some younger people to get involved, I would love to see. So my challenge for Jeannie is find the young people in your life that you believe, and for all the listeners out there, find the young people in your life that you believe would be a good fit for representing the communities that you live in, and encourage them to go run and give them support. Maybe write a $25-$30 check and say, yeah, get behind them. Sign some nomination papers, because that's going on right now. As soon as we can find out what the districts are going to be, Brian.
Or where we are, or what our name is, or what even day it is. Apparently it's Friday from what I'm told. But it feels like a limbo day. Speaking as a wide-eyed, young, you know, person who cares about people and cares about things, you know, sitting in the back of a sacristy, you know, munching on wafers with my stupid Cosby sweater and my rolled up pants and loafers. Speaking from that, you know, wide-eyed, you know, kid who just wants everybody to be good and try everything, it feels really icky handing out that collection basket. It really feels icky. Like,
yeah, asking for money and fundraising is not an easy thing.
It always felt icky for me, even though it was my job to go and get that collection basket. And I got to use the really long pole, you know, the basket with a really long pole and stuff. And I thought that was cool at least. But then I was like, it just feels icky. I don't know why. But if I sold someone something for goods and services, or I charged them like $5 for a stupid coffee and a donut, okay, that's fine. But, like, just, hey, give me money, it just felt icky. And I think that deters a lot of people.
Yeah, but you got to – it's an investment. It's a donation to the campaign, and
but it also implies an obligation for those who incur those things.
Well, for large amounts, but if you capped them at, say, a couple $100,
I'm just going to keep asking for $20 over and over again.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
You owe me 10.
It's a Friday afternoon. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back on Monday at 2 p.m.
Don't threaten everybody.